That sets the stage for what we consider in the preaching this morning. We turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. And we read the first 16 verses. And the text for the preaching will be verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Let's first read the first 16 verses. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. So far we read from this wisdom literature in God's word. The text is verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're all familiar with this proverb. We've all heard it before. I would even think that many of us can say this proverb by heart. That's really the purpose of Proverbs. They're short, pithy sayings that give us general truths so that we can memorize them and have them be our guide. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know this proverb. But I think when we actually pause and we consider this proverb and meditate on what it is actually saying, I think the proverb becomes a very humbling and sobering part of Scripture. I think the inclination we have in us when we pause and we meditate on this proverb is to maybe qualify it. Perhaps even our inclination would be to challenge this word of God or maybe even disagree with it. After all, I can imagine someone saying, well, what about the children of believers, children who've grown up and they've turned to the pathway of sin? What about those children who had a good upbringing, but now they've grown up and they've left the Christian faith? Are you willing to say that the parents of those children were unfaithful in the raising of their children? Pastor, what are you saying about me? If my child is one of these children that has gone astray, are you saying this morning that I wasn't faithful as a parent? And if that's the posture or the attitude that we take with this verse, then it seems that the only alternative we have is to say that Proverbs 22, verse 6 is simply not true. That's why I say that this verse, in all reality, is a very humbling and sobering proverb. Yes, we should all understand the reality that election and reprobation also cuts through the lines of God's covenant people. And yes, we should all understand that parents are not able to give their children a new heart. Only God can do that, and God is not expecting us to do that. Yes, we know the truth that God is sovereign over who our children are. He is sovereign over who their persons are and what they become as they grow up. But beloved, as we approach this verse, let's not be inclined to qualify it as soon as we get our hands on it or take a defensive posture. But let's be sober and let's just appreciate the verse for what it's saying. That's how we have to approach the verse this morning. Especially those of us who have small children. These are words, perhaps especially for us. Those with older children, for the most part, the moment has passed. That's exactly what this verse is teaching. Parents with older children, they had their moment to influence their children. Now their children are adults, they have to make their own choices. But these words are especially for those who have young children. And beloved, these words speak the truth. It's a proverb. It's a truism. It's a maxim. And we all know that it speaks the truth. Even the ungodly in the world around us know that this verse speaks the truth. That's how it's functioning in the book of Proverbs. The simple reality is this. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the reality. That's the general rule. That's the basic truth being expressed. Now, if this passage pricks you, then let it prick you. And if this passage is warning you right now in this moment as you see your little children, then let it warn you. And if this passage is presenting to you the urgency of the moment, then let it present to you the urgency of the moment. And if this passage is encouraging you and comforting you, then let it encourage and comfort you and strengthen you in the work you are doing. What this passage is simply doing is setting before covenant parents the awesome and urgent calling to train up their children at a time when those children still can be trained. Because as a general rule, when they are old, they are going to follow in the footsteps they learned to walk in when they were under your instruction. That's part of the blueprints for building a covenant home. This is an essential aspect or element we need to consider when we look at the construction and the building of a covenant home. We take as our theme this morning, blueprints, number 7, the profound influence and calling of parents, generally considered. We're going to look at this more in future weeks when we speak of fathers and mothers specifically considered, but here, just the general idea, the profound influence and calling of parents. We look at 3 things. First, the parents' profound influence. Second, the parents' high calling. And third, the parents' strong encouragement. And as we begin looking at this portion of God's word, the main truth that we need to appreciate is this. Parents especially, but all of us in the covenant community, but parents especially, have a profound influence on the life and direction of their children. This is undeniable. We all know this to be true. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And it's more than just DNA. God has made parents a mighty power and influence in the life of the child that lives in their home. Children are so impressionable. Children are so receptive to a parent's instruction. And maybe when I say that, there might be some who say, well, Pastor, you haven't met my child because my child is a strong-willed child. But already there, let's not challenge the word that God's putting before us this morning. The whole point of Proverbs 22, verse 6 is to emphasize the profound influence and the profound ability to shape a child that God gives to parents. God has made believing parents instruments in his hand to mold his children in godliness, to mold them for time and for eternity. For good or evil, whether I'm conscious of it or not, I am molding my child. It's always happening. In the very attitude I take towards the child, in the very attitude I take towards the Bible and this verse, I'm molding my child. One way or another, in absolutely everything we do, in every attitude we have, in every position we take, we as parents and as a congregation are influencing and shaping our children. Your very presence with your children or your lack of presence with your children makes an impression. Simply put, you don't have a choice whether you want to influence your child or not. God has put you in this position. You will influence your child. Beloved, this is a truth that should drive a believing parent to his or her knees every single day, imploring God for his grace, knowing this reality. And it's a wonder, besides. God is pleased to use parents to do something that cannot be undone. The influence of a parent on a child can't be outlived. It will have its effect on the rest of that child's life. That's the reality. And that reality of the profound influence of a parent is taught and emphasized in the passage in two different ways. First of all, the passage uses the word child. Train up a child. And the word child here is a general term that includes all the different stages of childhood development from infancy all the way to adulthood. And the point is this: a child is in development. A child is growing, and so a child is very impressionable. Even during his high school days, a child is very impressionable. So first of all, the word child, but then it comes out further when the text says, train up a child in the way he should go. Or more literally, train up a child at the mouth of his way. Train up a child at the entrance of his way. And the idea is, when a child is born, a child begins on a course of life, a way of life. Train up the child at the very beginning of that way, at the very beginning of that pathway, at the very outset of his course of life, and you can shape him and mold him so that when he is old, when he's mature, he doesn't depart from that way. I think, children, you can understand this example. Think of an oak tree. An oak tree, when it's a little sapling, a little small tree, you can guide it as it grows. You can prune it, make sure it grows straight and tall. But if you wait until that oak tree is full grown before you do anything to it, well, what you're going to do is going to be ineffective. It's already full grown. Or maybe for an even better example, think of a vine. Or think of like a tomato plant in the garden or a bean plant that grows on a trellis or an arbor. Right? As it's growing, you guide it so that it keeps growing up the trellis. Because once that plant is full grown or the vine is full grown and thick, it can't do anything. It is what it is. And in the case of a vine or another plant, if you don't like how it's grown, probably your best option is to just cut it down and start new. And the point is, understanding this correctly, that's how it is with a child. Just think physically, when a child needs help with his or her speech, right? What do you always hear? Start as early as you can. The earlier you start helping them, the better. That's the same with the spiritual training of a child. At the first opening of a child's intelligence, be training that child in the ways of the Lord. That's the idea of the verse. Now, this becomes all the more important when we consider who and what the child actually is. Who is this child, this plant, this little sapling that is to be trained? Well, there are two things to point out here. First of all, a child is not born neutral. We considered that very briefly last week when we looked at children as gifts. Let's say one or two more things this week. A child is not born with a clean slate, as if all he has to do is receive the impressions that are placed upon him. No, we understand a child is born with a sinful nature, the sinful nature that was passed down from their parents. And our children have sinful natures that incline them to sin from their earliest years. That, first of all. And then second, since we're talking here about covenant children, what we also need to bear in mind is that a covenant child is to be viewed as a regenerated child of God. That's why we bring them up for baptism, because we view them that way. And so the reality is, our children are those who are just like us. They have an old man, they have a new man. Just like us, they love God. Yet they also have a corrupt nature and a foolish heart. As we also read from Proverbs 22 in verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 19, verse 15 puts it this way, a child left to himself, right? A child left to grow his own way, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so as we consider who the child is, there are two ways in which the child can grow and develop. There's the way that he should go. There's the pathway of righteousness. And there is the way that he would go in and of himself, the pathway of wickedness. And the point of Proverbs 22, verse 6 is this. This is exactly where parents have a profound influence. Parents, look at your child. Look at your children. These children, we are confident, have both an old man and a new man. The question is, how are you going to influence that child? How are you going to help that child as a younger brother or a younger sister in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's at this point that I want to point out another possible reading of the passage. Another way of reading verse 22 is like this. Train up a child in his own way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's a different reading of the passage, and if we read it that way, then it definitely becomes a warning, right? Train up a child in his own way, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And that translation may be a little different, but it still is emphasizing the profound influence that parents have. And the way we can describe it and think about it is like this. Look at a parent. Look at an adult. Look at an adult. Why does that adult behave the way that he does or that she does? Why does an adult behave a certain way? Maybe we see it in our siblings. We're so good at looking at others first, right? But maybe we see it in ourselves. But why does, to pick a few examples, why does a particular adult act so selfishly? There are adults who are very selfish and self-centered. Why do they act that way? There are other adults who are rude. They are bullies even, still as adults. Other adults are abusive. Why? Why are they bullies? Why are they acting this way? There are others who struggle with discontentment, or maybe with pride, or maybe they're childish. Why? There are adults who simply don't speak the truth. There are adults who mock people behind their backs. Why do they act this way? And there are adults also who walk in love, who are humble, who are loving their neighbor as themselves. That, why? Well, we should understand God is in sovereign control. His grace explains the good fruit that is brought forth. We all understand we all have our own sinful natures. We all have our unique sinful natures, our unique sins we're inclined to more than others. We don't deny these realities at all. But the answer is also this. To a great degree, they learned these things as children. These negative things, these sinful things, they were not driven away from these things as children. Perhaps this is even the case, that their parents, instead of driving them away from these things, actually taught them these things. The point, again, is parents have a profound influence on their children. In all your small talk, in all your jokes, in how you're talking at your Sunday coffee, in your facial gestures, in the tone that you're using in the privacy of your own home, in all the battles that you're choosing to take up, in all the battles you're choosing not to take up, you are influencing your children. As I thought about this, I think one of the things that parents are inclined to do, I look at myself here, and it's so easy that we are inclined to minimize our influence. And we're tempted to maybe even take a fatalistic approach to the behavior of our children, even when they're very little, 3, 4, 5 years old. Oh, little Johnny, yes, little Johnny, he's just like his uncle. I see his uncle in him. Or little Susie. She's just like her grandmother. And maybe parents will say these kinds of things with a tone of jest, but the issue is this. Okay, so you see these character traits in your child that maybe you see in an adult. And I can see these things in my children. And if we can't see ourselves most of the time in our children, well, we're probably pretty proud people. But we see these character traits in our child that we see in an adult. And the question now is, okay, are these things good? Or are these things that need to be corrected? Or are these things that are alarming? You see, I'm a parent, and the Lord has given me a job to do. And the point is, let's not become fatalistic in how our children behave. It is sometimes almost as if some parents say, this is just how my little child is. As if this is just the child that I've been given, and that's the end of the story. Let him go his own way. Almost as if parents know their children are misbehaving, and they're already giving themselves an excuse for the child before anyone else can even say anything about their child. And these parents are giving up their own responsibilities because they're already anticipating that they're failing in their calling. And instead of taking ownership for their responsibilities, they throw in the white flag. Let the child go his own way. And as parents, I've been there. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. They probably even feel it right now in this moment. Just go your own way. That's not really training the child, is it? So what if your child has certain character traits? Your calling is to train them in the fear of the Lord, in the way they should go. We understand, again, our calling is not to give that child a new heart. But if I view this child as God's child, which I do because I already brought it to the front of church for baptism, then I treat them that way too. My calling is to train their hearts and mold their hearts for good. God has put me in a position of influence to help this child out, to influence this child for good. Whatever his character traits are, whoever this child is, I'm called to help them for the glory of God. Parents can easily give up the opportunity to influence their children for good. Parents are distracted by their smartphones. They're distracted maybe with taking upon themselves too much work, because frankly put, looking at my smartphone or going to work is easier than this kind of work of training my child right now. Maybe they're out of the house when they shouldn't be, and they're not pursuing this calling. How are these children being influenced? Well, one thing you can be sure of is this, they are being influenced. And one thing you can be sure of is this, you are influencing your child one way or another by all your decisions. You are influencing them. Parents, it is when your children are young that you have the chance to train and influence them. They will grow up soon enough. Soon they're going to be that oak tree or that vine. And that vine's going to be set. You know, generally speaking, this is the rule for the rest of its life. And with your child, you won't be able to cut it down and start over. You as a parent are not going to mold them, be able to mold them the same way when they are old. The calling is here and now. And we should understand, God has also made children to be this way, to be impressionable. In his mercy, God has done that for us as parents, so that by his grace, we can mold them and we can shape them. That's why he puts his elect children so often in the homes of believers. And God says to you, use this opportunity as my servant to do this child, my child, good. Train him up in the way he should go. Well, that, of course, brings us to the parents' high calling to train. Train. So we've looked at the influence of the parents, now the calling to train. Train him up, her up, in the way he should go. Let's notice, first of all, that word train. And that word train could also be translated as dedicate. It could also come from a word that means to narrow or to choke. The idea is, narrow down the child. Dedicate the child for this one thing. Don't treat your child as if the child gets to choose for himself whatever way his fancy desires, but narrow up the way of the child so that the child learns to walk in the straight path of righteousness. That's training. I think of Hannah, what she was busy with for those few short years when she had Samuel under her watch before she sent him to the temple for service in the Lord's temple. Training him up, narrowing him up. And when I think of training, I think the main part of it is this. Focus on the heart. You hit your brother? Not only is that wrong, but let's look at what was in your heart when you did that. You're not listening to your mother? Not only is that deeply offensive to God, but let's look at what was in your heart when you did that. You were hating your mother. You were being proud. You were thinking you were better than your mother. You were really thinking you were better than God. This is the way you should go, my child. The way of respect, the way of honor, and the way of integrity and honesty. And I'm going to dedicate you to this way so that every single day, whenever this matter comes up, we're going to deal with it honestly. We're going to look at the heart, and I'm going to treat you like that vine. I'm going to strive to put another branch on the trellis so that as you continue to grow, you're growing up in this direction. And we need to be consistent every single day. Every single time this comes up, there will be correction so that you learn to listen to your mother without challenge, without excuse, without delay. You need to learn to live under authority. That's the first commandment God gives to children. And learning that commandment, you have hope for the rest of your life. That's the first commandment that holds promise for the rest of your life. You need to learn to live under God's authority. And now I, as your parent, will strive to model that for you as my child by showing you that this is what I have to do as I am also one who lives under God's authority. I need to obey his commandments. I'm not free to do with you as I please. I have to dedicate you to the Lord. And we are in this together. We're serving the Lord together because together we are God's covenant children. That's the word train. And then train up a child in the way he should go. And what is that way? What's the way of God's word? It's the way of the scriptures. God's word tells us how we have to live as his redeemed children. And so when you train your child, you bring God's word to bear upon his or her life. That's the heart of all training. Right? Don't just listen to what dad says. This isn't about you ruining my day. This isn't about how you make me so frustrated. It's not about me. This isn't about how annoyed I'm getting or how embarrassed I'm feeling in front of others. No, this is about us and our relationship with the Lord. Listen to what God says. Right? Let's go to God's word so that we train our children with our Bibles open so that in every area of life, it's not my word. But we together learn to submit to the authority of God's word. This isn't just me talking to you, child. This is God's word. It's worth asking ourselves, are we doing that? Right? Do you know what Bible passage to use right here in this situation when you're confronted with the calling right now to train your child a certain way? Do you know what passage to use? Are we memorizing these passages together, perhaps, so I'm blessed too, and I'm being reminded right here just as much as you are how I have to live as a child of God. And of course, we don't just do this as parents, we do this as a covenant community. We band together as a family in Christ, and we say, let's look out for all the children. Let's work on this together. We stand and fall as a covenant community. Together, let's train these children up in the way they should go. And here too, how thankful we can be that God supplies us also with godly teachers who also help and serve in this calling. We need to be thankful for the godly teachers God gives us who with us understand the importance of the passage. Well, that leads us to consider the question, how? How do we do this? We have a calling to train. How do we train up our children in the way they should go? Well, I've already touched on a few things. I have three things here to point out. Number one, it's already been emphasized through your own example. That can't be emphasized enough. Children are imitators. That's biblical. God calls us as dear children to follow him, literally to imitate him. And just as God calls us to imitate him, so we need to imitate him by telling our own children to follow us and imitate us. Be an example to your children. Be an example to them of honesty, of humility. Be an example in how you deal with your spouse. Train your children as far as God gives you the ability in what a godly, loving marriage should look like. Train your children in what a personal relationship with the Lord, what that looks like. We looked at this a few weeks ago, right? Are we praying? Are we singing when we're afflicted? Are we modeling that? When we're joyful, merry, are we modeling how we are to live in those circumstances? I think this is one area where we can make improvements. Model for your children what a living faith looks like, practically, intentionally. So second thing I would say is this, that's closely connected there, cultivate a climate of spiritual openness. Parents, live out your faith. We need to do that. Where else are they going to be trained? When you're on the fishing trip, when you're on the hunting trip, when you're out playing golf, when you're out shopping at the mall, redeem the time. Sing with your children, pray with them, talk about your spiritual struggles and your joys with your children in a way that's appropriate, of course, but talk to them about your faith, about the struggles of walking by faith and putting away sin. Talk to them about your own personal love for Jehovah God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to them about what Jesus Christ means to you. How unspeakably glorious is this gift he's given me, that God, the maker of heaven and earth, came down into this world in my own flesh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and he laid down his life for me. And he lived his whole life for me and all his people. And he went through the agonies and torments of hell, death, for me. And that explains this life of thankfulness that I am pursuing day by day. Right? Child, that's what this life is about. What unspeakable love of God that he's given his only begotten son to die for our sins, that all who call on his name are saved. What unspeakable love of God. Share with your children the stories of the Bible and how amazing these stories of God's grace are. We just had it this past week. We were looking at Abraham in our morning devotions and just how Abraham laughed when God told him he was going to have a child when he was 99 years old. And the devotional said, God's promises are no laughing matter. God takes his promises very seriously. And for me, that was very humbling because here I am, discouraged in a certain area of my life, and I know the promises that God has given me to avert all evil or turn it to my advantage. And I need to believe that. And we can talk about that with our children. These are struggles, but we need to believe that. And I need to repent where I'm unbelieving. We need to talk to our children about these realities. Teach them how to pray. Teach them tangible things they can pray for. There's really so much to say here, but maybe I can emphasize this as well. Number three, teach your children about love. Right? Number one, be an example. Number two, cultivate an atmosphere, a culture of spiritual openness. And number three, maybe at the center of it all, teach your children about love. Because this is what defines our lives as Christians. This is one passage that we've had to use in our own home multiple times. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This is how we are followers of Jesus. This is how we are disciples, children. If we have love one to another. That's the new commandment. That's the great commandment God has given us. What does love look like here in this situation with your brother or your sister? How are we supposed to love God? How are we supposed to love one another? Focus on love, because that gets to the heart of the matter. In your own soul, too, it gets to the heart of the matter. That's what we're aiming at. We're training the hearts of our children. I want my child's heart dedicated to the Lord. That's the high calling. So we've looked at the profound influence that parents have on their children. We've looked briefly at the high calling parents have been given. In future sermons, Lord willing, we'll look at the calling of fathers and the calling of mothers. And now finally, as we begin to do that, we look at the strong encouragement that parents are given. And that strong encouragement is right in the verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's encouragement, beloved. That's strong encouragement. That's stating a fact, but it's also encouragement to take up the calling God has given us. A godly parent will leave an indelible mark, an indestructible mark upon his child. Now, that encouragement can be taken a few different ways. First of all, it doesn't mean that with all your training, you can make a child a regenerated child of God. We understand that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But second, it does mean this. The training of a believing parent must bear fruit. Even if a young person attempts to silence the godly instruction he has received in his childhood, it will force itself back into his memory. Even for an unbeliever, the instruction that he receives as a child, it will disturb him in the pleasures of sin that he tries to indulge in. It will spoil the sweetness that he imagined his sin would have. He will know better. And that will have its effect. So that as he walks in sin, he will be miserable. It will have its fruit. But third of all, it also means this. For those children who are God's elect children, who are raised in the fear of his name, your godly instruction as a parent will bear good fruit. Your child raised in the fear of the Lord will not depart from it. Learning humility, learning love, learning what grace is, learning the path of righteousness as a child. He will know, she will know how to behave himself or herself when he or she gets older. It won't depart from him. And even when your child is an aged person, and maybe you're long gone, taken to glory, and your child is an old man, a grandparent, your child will still be walking in God's ways, being a blessing also to his or her children and grandchildren and the church. And I say that's a rich encouragement to God's people. What is our calling as parents? Well, with everything, our calling is to live by faith in God's word. Raise your child, understanding that how they behave themselves as adults is in so many ways, as a general rule, as a proverb, the result of the influence you had upon them as children. Yes, that's a reason for us to confess our sins. That's a reason to repent and to be humble and to take on a humble posture, because we know no parent is perfect. We all have so many shortcomings. And we acknowledge that every good fruit that our labor brings is due only to God's abounding grace. But then this is also a great reason, a great motivation to lay the hand to the plow and not look back and take up the work God has given us. Parents and covenant community, do not neglect the calling God has given you. Recognize the good influence you have on your children. Meditate on what the gospel means to you. Meditate on your hope of everlasting life in glory. Meditate on the riches of salvation you enjoy in Jesus Christ. Meditate on how worthy your God is. And let that love, let that knowledge be the love you seek to have instilled in your children. Be much in prayer. Bring yourself to the Lord in prayer. Acknowledge before him that without his blessing, all your labors are in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But then also plead the promises. Ask him daily for the grace to be faithful to your vows. And then bring your children to God in prayer. As a congregation, as family and friends, bring the children to God in prayer daily. And then when we get up from our knees after prayer, arise with hope and confidence that God will accomplish his will and good pleasure. Take up this calling, Jordan and Mary, David and Gina. Take it up. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to thee for all things. We know thy word is true. We need thy grace. We need thy help. We need thee. Give us thy grace and bless us and show us, Lord, who thou art as Jehovah, the God who is the eternally unchanging God who keeps his word. And may we live in that confidence. And as we see the children of the church, and we see our adult children and the adult children in the church blessing and praising thy name, may we see and be encouraged that these things which thy word reveals to us are indeed certainly shown forth in our experiences. May that be an encouragement too as we look forward with the little ones thou hast put in our care. Bless this preaching to our hearts. Bless it to our lives. Magnify thy word. Magnify Jesus Christ, the word become flesh, through the hearing and application of this word. In his name we pray. Amen.